much different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything's going your way. When one of you says, I'm on Paul's side, and another says, I'm for Apollos, aren't you being totally infantile? Who do you think Paul is, anyway? Or Apollos, for that matter? Servants, both of us. Servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual Lord. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed. Apollos watered the plants. But God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is the God we are serving. You happen to be God's field, God's garden, in which we are working. Sincerely, Paul and Sosthenes. Co-gardening with God. This is a communal sermon today, putting us all on the hook a little bit. Am I not on?
Oh, dear. Okay. Here I am now. Now? Yes? And now.
And now. Now? Whoa! Was there a loudspeaker in the Garden of Eden? Okay. A communal sermon today. Do we have any gardeners in the congregation? Yes. Any gardeners? Just a general question for the gardeners. Why? Why do you garden? Anyone? It's peaceful. What else? You just have to. it's just can't go without it. Blame my parents. Who else? Somebody back here said something. Food. Hello. Fresh food. We get to eat it. Who else? It's the birthing of life. For the pollinators. Anyone else? To get dirty. Hello. We are creatures of the earth. No, never mind. Yes. Yes. Anyone else who gardens?
Yes. Share
we share in God's creation. Yes. To see what will take root. There's such an unknown in gardening. We hope the seeds, Paul says he's planting with the community. We hope they will take root and grow, but some of it's out of our hands, right? So gardening is a meditative practice. But some things are out of our hands. We do our part. And then God does the rest or doesn't do the rest. Anyone else who gardens? Say that again. All the miracles. Do you have one in particular to name? The leaves unfurl. I mean, it's like you can literally see growth happening. And it's, yes, someone else. Garden. To feed the birds. Yes.
To feed the deer.
To feed the deer. Do you know I almost hit one on the way here this morning? Because what would we do without the deer? What would we do without the deer? Anyone who doesn't garden? Yeah, I know, right? You don't. Why not?
I don't like it.
What do you not like about gardening? Okay. Let's just say we have issues with gardening. Who else does not garden? Yes, why not? I would kill everything. Who else? Why not?
My kids said
I could kill a plastic plant, and that's kind of what I used to think was just by looking at them. Some of us do not have a gift in this, right? So what is Paul doing when he says, you are God's garden, you are God's field, and Apollos is another traveling preacher in the first century. We plant and we water, we're the gardeners. Some of us try to use Miracle-Gro to make things grow a little bit better, but it's really God providing the miracle. What is Paul doing when he says, you are God's garden, and those of us who lead you are gardeners, but maybe some of us aren't very good gardeners. What is Paul getting at here? This is the question. In order for me to understand a little bit more about what Paul is getting at, I invite us to go to the very beginning, in the garden. Anyone who is of Hebrew background in the first century, and I would argue even today, when they say the word garden, there is a whole background, an archetype of garden that is loaded in that one word that he uses with the Corinthians. You are God's garden. So let's talk about the garden. In the Hebrew, it's Gan Eden, which we translate to the Garden of Eden, which could also be translated as paradise. Gan Eden. And humanity is of the Gan Eden. We are part of this good garden where, in the early service, one of our parishioners said, I like to garden because I can see the pileated woodpecker and the hawk, right? So we are in the garden with all of the rest of creation. And we tend the garden, but we are not lording over the garden. We're tending it. That's our job, to tend it. We're also in the garden not lording it over each other. This is before the fall. We'll get to that in a second. Humanity living whole, living in community, not lording it over one another. Wow, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? The thing is, that is supposed to be the something that we are living. When Paul is calling the Corinthians the garden of God, that's exactly what he is calling them to, because in their baptism, here we go again. In their baptism, remember the vow of the early church is that in baptism, there's no longer Jew or Greek lording it over one another or being lorded over. In our baptism, there's no longer slave or free lording it over one another or being lorded over. In our baptism, there's no more male and female lording it over one another or being lorded over. In fact, unfortunately, this isn't part of the actual statement in the vow, but you can take it one step further to say in our baptism, we are not even lording it over creation. There is no longer human and nature, but we are all one creation. This is the vow you took in baptism, Paul. He doesn't say it outright, but that's what's behind what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. In your baptism, Corinthians, you are returning to the garden as a new creation in Christ, replanted in this garden to live in paradise. And I'm really frustrated that you're not doing it. what he's trying to say, folks. I'm really frustrated that you're not living in the garden that you have been recreated in Christ to be living in. Well, friends, here's the problem. The way we say this in the church is we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. All right. It's not a one and done. Unfortunately, I wish it were that I could just drop some water on your heads, say hocus pocus, and we are all back in paradise. Unfortunately, we have to work out this portal to paradise that baptism is. We have to work it out in our everyday lives, in our community, in our country, in our world. We have to work out what it is to be co-gardeners with God, this new creation in this garden that God has planted us in. So what happens in the first creation? We're going to get to that thing called the fall. There's lots of ways to interpret that part of our scriptures. One way, favorite isn't really a good way to describe the fall, but the way that makes sense to me, especially given where we are today in terms of our relationship with creation, has to do with those fruits growing from the tree of good and evil that is planted in the garden and that humans were warned not to eat from. Everything is good in the garden. Why would we want to know evil? Why would we want to know evil? Everything is good in the garden. There's another part of scripture in Proverbs a little bit later after Genesis that talks about the wisdom of God present at creation, even personifying Lady Wisdom dancing with God as this garden is coming together. And the way I understand the fall is that the wisdom of God is in the roots of that tree. And instead of being rooted in the good wisdom of God, we go straight for the fruits and pluck them. Without having any idea of the consequences. In fact, we are so unaware of the consequences that we don't even know the difference between good and evil, even though we sure do know evil now, don't we, in our world. It was so good, and now we know evil as well as good, except for now we don't even know sometimes what is evil and what is good. Take fossil fuels, for example. When the first coal miner crept into that mine, were they committing an act of evil? No. No. They were feeding their families. They were helping generate the power of a country that was expanding. All this seeming good. And of course now, with the gift of hindsight, not so good. That's because we're human, not God, and that was the real sin of the garden, was believing we could ever be God and not creation. We are creation. We are God's creation. We are not the creator. And yet we co-create with God. We were created to co-create with God. And that's what Paul is trying to remind the Corinthians. Friends, you took a vow in your baptism to live as the new creation with grace and integrity and wisdom in the garden God has planted you in. So start acting like it. That's our job today. We don't always know the difference between good and evil. We do the best we make the best decisions we can in the moment, which is what the session has done in the decisions they've made this week. But we don't even know the consequences of those seemingly good decisions. We don't know. What we do know is that this call is still before us to live as God's co-gardeners in this good creation, working out that salvation with fear and trembling day by day, calling ourselves to account when we see that we're lording it over another or being lorded over by another or a group of others. Calling ourselves to account and to a new way of life when we see we're lording it over this creation that is actually us. And doing what we can to repair that damage. That's what it is. That's what Paul is asking of the Corinthians. That's what God is asking of us. Good luck. And I say that as a joke in one way. But I also say that as a hope. May we be filled with luck, and may we be faithful as we do our part in tending the garden. Amen.